The Jacksonville Jaguars select Mason Smith, defensive tackle, LSU.
When you look at him, Joel, and you're looking at trying to build out your defensive front, and you bring over Eric Armstead, who's huge. We know about Trayvon Walker and what a physical freak he was as the first overall pick. They've got some rare dudes now just in terms of the size, length, and athleticism up front.
Rolls away from pressure, in trouble. Just throws it up for grabs, and it is intercepted. Jarian Jones picked it off. Caitlin Robinson on the return.
With the 114th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Javon Foster, tackle, Missouri. Duval!
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Jaguars Today rolling out another Wednesday spectacular program. 2 hours of absolutely wall-to-wall Jacksonville Jaguar and NFL talk. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Everything fine?
Yeah.
In your neck of the woods?
Good. Yeah.
All right. I've gone down the internet rabbit hole. I've clicked on some interesting links that I should not discuss on the air, and I probably should have scrubbed from my work computer as well. But I did see you know, a couple things. A, schedule's coming out next week now, right? The 15th is what they're saying.
So all the news, yeah.
A week from today, right? So it did get delayed about a week. And Boomer Esiason saying this morning that don't be surprised if the NFL and Netflix get in bed for a nice little Christmas Day football game.
Okay.
I mean, whatever, I guess, yeah. Man. I just old man yells at cloud, right? I mean, that's who I am, I'm sure, right? We don't need these streaming services, Tony. Mm-hmm. We don't need that fancy cable television, you know, that we've got. What's wrong with the radio anyway, Tony? You know, I mean, go back as far as we want. Yeah. It's just the world we live in, right?
And it is.
As long as they don't have streaming issues with it, then so be it. You know, it's one of those, I've already got them anyway. I could see how that'd be incredibly annoying if you're not someone who has all these services.
Right. I didn't watch the Tom Brady roast live. You did, right, Dylan?
Yes.
Were there any issues with
None.
The stream?
No.
Okay. Well, here's the issue. If you want to go back and rewatch the game, all the people booing Kim Kardashian will be removed.
Yeah, I've seen that.
From that, what apparently. I literally, if I was going to go back and watch something, now I'm pretty sure I could probably find that aspect on YouTube, right? But Netflix cut out Kim Kardashian getting booed.
Oh, and it was loud, man. Like, you could hear it, like, clear as day. It wasn't like a couple of boos. It was, like, everybody in the back.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
I don't know why.
I wonder if they had already cleaned it up by the time I watched it. I watched it the next day.
I'm sure they did.
I bet they did. Plenty of boos.
Oh, did? Okay, yeah. Maybe they didn't then.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it took a couple days for them to do it. But when I was watching, I was like, wow, they're really
really boring. Going after it.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't care one way or the other.
I don't
know. Right? But I do, like, if an event happened, replay it the way it happened.
It happened the way it happened.
Right? I mean, they didn't break any FCC rules or anything like that. Not that there's much that holds Netflix back in terms of what their content is.
It's on one of my favorite roast moments of all time is when the situation was up there.
The situation?
I think it was
the
Trump roast. But the situation went up there on stage, and he's getting booed relentlessly, right? And at one point, he's told a couple jokes. None of them are landed. Nothing's happening right for him. It's getting louder and louder in the room, and he goes, hey, what are you going to do?
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to tell me he just lifted his shirt and showed off the six-pack, Tony.
Hey, yo, what are you going to do?
All right. Well, what do they do? Keep booing,
I'm guessing. Kept booing.
That's what they're going to do. Pockets, did we have reason to cheer yesterday
for the baby.
Baldwin boys and girls track stars?
4x1 team, regional runner-up. Bulls got first, so we automatically qualified. I think we got the fourth fastest time for next week. And we got a couple girls going, so we did a pretty good job yesterday, man.
And what are the ladies going? What events are they
qualifying
in?
One of the throwing events, I think it was the Jav, and then we have an 800 runner.
The Jav, Tony, because javelin's way too many syllables to be bothered with.
She does the shot, jav, and disc. I can't remember which one it was.
Got to keep it one consonant.
One consonant
for all of them.
Jav, disc.
Yeah.
The di. The disc. Is that disc? That's four whole letters, man. All right. Well, good. Congrats to them and to all the other local folks who qualified for state track finals. So the finals next week?
Yeah, state championships.
State championships. All right. There you go.
At UNF.
Congratulations. Pockets will be out there cheering. What do you do during the events? Like, do you have a little megaphone?
No, that's illegal.
Oh, is it?
You just yell, yeah.
Is it?
You can't do that. I don't think you can.
Can you cup your hands?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do that.
Can you curl up a program and turn it into a bit of
a... Oh, yeah.
You do that. But you can't have, like, an electronic one.
Yeah, you just go in the stands with everybody else, and you just yell, run, run. All right, good job.
Run faster.
Yep, that's it.
Run faster. Make me look good. Coach Pockets, put this on my resume. All right, well, congratulations regardless. All right, today, Tony, we're going to talk a little bit about pass rush and where's it going to come from. Beyond the obvious candidates, your Chad and Sandy real estate question today. Let's assume Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker do it again, and you're clear. I mean, they're the clear options that you'd pick to lead the team in sacks. So let's presume they stay healthy, have really good seasons, whatever that total happens to be. Okay, who's next? Right, and it may be a terrible question today because you know we're in that time of year. If you'd like a question asked on Jaguars Today, you got my email. Send it on down, baby. Mm-hmm. we do this every year. We're like, all right, have we asked this in a while? We go back and we try to search and make sure we are not asking the same questions in a short period of time or whatever the case may be. But we try to put them in poll form because it's easier this time of year. During the season, people are more engaged and they will give you more responses. So I like to know what as many people are thinking as possible. Well, over 80% of them are thinking Eric Armstead is the overwhelmingly likely guy. But we did put Roy Robertson Harris in there, Tony, because he has been the runner-up for a couple of years. We did also put Travis Gibson in there because I think if you look at the depth chart,
he's the third guy.
It makes sense that he's like the third edge right now, that's the most likely next man up.
Third edge last year got him two.
Got him two, right? So it's a low bar. Yeah. And we hope that bar is higher, by the way. It won't be in that 3-3.5 range where we've been. We need a better pass rush across the board than that.
Yeah. Roy Robertson Harris was third on the team last year with three.
Three. And that ain't getting it done. Now, again, top two guys, I feel really good about those guys.
Absolutely.
Can't play every snap. They need help. You can double them. Now it's going to be tougher, right? We hope. With Armstead maybe commanding a few double teams of his own, but also have the someone else category because it's generally right around this time of year, the last couple of years when the, I don't know, hype might be too strong a word, but the sentiment that Devin Lloyd will be unleashed as a pass rusher. This is the season, Tony, that it's coming. Maybe. I say, you know, it's only been a couple of years that he's been on the team, but you know what I mean? There's been that, hey, if we use him this way, he's going to get a six. He's going to get us eight, whatever the case may be. He's an untapped weapon. Maybe he is. Who knows? Could be him. Actually had some people mention Yasir Abdullah this morning, and he was the popular pick at this time. Pockets went back and looked. We asked last July. And so he made it all the way to July with some confidence because you just don't know. Like, what does that tell you? You know, coming out of rookie minicamp, you're not going to know anything more about these guys.
No, yeah.
OTAs crank up next week. They'll be on the practice field. It'll be open to the media mostly while we're on the air. So we will rely on the reporting of our many cohorts in the business, including guys like John Osier, who's going to join us, of course, as he does every Wednesday in hour number two, coming up later on this morning. And Hayes Carlion from the Frangie show here on 1010XL, who's going to join us at 1040 today. And Hayes, one of our few regulars we didn't have on last week, and we had a bunch of them to recap the draft and really the offseason up until this entire point. Got some thoughts on, you know, got some people out there. Evan Engram made a comment on social media in response to something Demetrius Harvey said, which I think was in response to something Neil O'Brien reported, and on it goes. And I think there's a lot of misinterpreting going on and a lot of context that's needed in this. So we'll discuss this briefly. I don't want to make a big deal out of any of this. But I do think that people are seeing things and ascribing motivations to them that aren't there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I think me as a reporter, Demetrius as a reporter, they have their jobs. to do, and they're trying to do them to the best of their ability. So I will leave it at that for the moment. And when we come back, and I got a few more minutes to get into, that's exactly what we will do. All right, let's see here. Should I read this, Pockets?
I would.
Okay, this is from Nate Monroe at the Times Union. New. This is a tweet. I'm reading it in real time. New. Jacksonville City Council President Ron Salem just said Mayor Donna Deegan and the Jaguars have reached a deal on renovating the stadium, and they will present it to the council on Tuesday. Good job. Woo! Yeah, baby! Yes!
Yeah, let's get it done. Well,
it's just a step. It's not done. It's not done. It's a big step, man. The city and the Jags, they got to go to the council and get them to approve it. The mayor's office and the Jags, that's a big step in the process. It's not all done.
No.
But that's a huge step in the process.
Yeah, look, we've all been waiting to see when the steps are going to come. We thought it would be sometime this summer, right, was the way that it was being talked about. May 8th works for me for it to be continuing to be pushed, move forward with whatever this is going to wind up looking like. And, look, we don't have any of the details on any of that, but they're taking steps towards getting this whole thing done. And when they do, then all these people that want to talk about London and all this other stuff with the Jaguars can shut up from here to eternity about the Jaguars going
anywhere.
Oh, my God,
I cannot wait to shove it down so many people's freaking throats.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously at this point in time. And, ugh, Pro Football Talk, there'll never be another publicly financed stadium or another stadium built with any public money or any of this and blah, 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 blah. We'll see, buddy. Mm-hmm. We'll see. And I think it's going to be a great thing when it gets done. That's my opinion. It's an incredibly biased opinion, right? And freely tell you that, and there's no mistaking that. But that to me seems like good news, which is why I retweeted it saying this seems like very good news. So there you go. Yeah. Again, not done. We don't know the details of this. Maybe the city council goes, wait a minute. Sends it back to the drawing board. Honestly, I'm a little ignorant to the whole process, but one step has been reached. And if you got the mayor's office and the team, those are two big components in this whole situation on the same page, hoping they get the city council on the same page and whatever issues they have. And I understand they have to respect their constituents and fight for the best deal and all these things. But, man, we could be within – I don't know what the time frame would be. Like, you present it to the council, then how long does the council need to mull it over and what have you and vote?
No,
and is there a public airing of concerns once they make the details public? I'm sure – I say I'm sure. I'm not sure of anything. I'm guessing that seems reasonable, that it would have to happen. But I'm excited about that. And, I guess there are people that could consider themselves Jaguar fans that wouldn't be excited about this. But, a little
seems like a
cognitive
number.
Dissonance, yeah. Right? Like, those things don't seem to mesh well together. So if you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to as well. That fires me up. My man, I don't know if I need this little rest of this energy drink. Sip it on this morning there, Tony Smith. All right, here we go. Give us your reaction to that. Just came down. Again, I'm not seeing the forest for the trees here. It just seems like this is a significant step in a good direction.
Certainly.
For the Jacksonville Jaguar organization to get their desired outcome on getting the stadium renovated, refurbished. Now, there's going to be a lot of details on there. Where are they playing? What are they doing? You know, the time frame and all this. Lots of details, man. If you tell me that all the groups eventually sign on the dotted line and say, Jags going to get it done eventually, going to stay here in Jacksonville for the next 50 years, I'm probably going to be okay with the you know what I mean? Like the end doesn't always justify the means, Tony, but I'm going to be – there's going to be a lot of means I'm going to overlook on the way to that end, if that's what we get, man. So that's got me fired up right now this morning. All right, if you want to get in today with any reaction to anything Jacksonville Jaguar related, 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You can hit us up on social media at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
Check us out in the YouTube virtual studio as well, and just give us your reaction to anything going on with the Jags. Hayes Carline in about 25 minutes. John Osier, hour number two, and we're glad you're along for the ride as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Just said Mayor Donna Deegan and the Jaguars have reached a deal on renovating the stadium, and they will present it to the council on Tuesday.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tell that guy to calm down, man. Well, that is. Seriously, man. Chill, right? No, I'm excited. What can I tell you? Look, again, doesn't mean everything's done. It's not like stadium deal locked in, but big step in the process, man. This is Tony, more than anything else. Trevor Lawrence extension? I'll take a Trevor Lawrence extension next offseason.
Mm-hmm.
This is the more important extension. Extending the life of the Jaguars in that stadium in the city of Jacksonville. So that's where my focus is. Not that you can't do more than one thing, right? It's not like Trent Baalke is in there negotiating with Donna Deegan and whomever, you know, understand what I'm saying. They're compartmentalized, but in terms of off-season priorities, that's the biggie for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then the season priorities win the damn Super Bowl, and then after that, we're groovy, right?
Yeah.
Got a new stadium and a Super Bowl championship.
That's all.
Everyone's going to be happy for the end of till the end of time. No one will ever complain again. I saw Doom the other day. We're talking about this. Doom goes, I'll give him 12 months. That's it. And then 12 months, they go right back to being me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's his grace period, he said, if they win a championship. 12 months. I get it, man. You want one, you're in that window. You're obviously good enough to win another one, right? Because you won one.
You would think.
You're right there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to deal with this issue, if you even want to call it an issue. Because people have asked me about this, asked for our opinion, or is this going to be this big war brewing in the Jacksonville media or the media versus the players? I think all this has been overblown, in my opinion. I'll tell you how I think things went down. I just spoke with Mia O'Brien seconds ago. I spoke with Demetrius Harvey earlier this morning. And I don't think either one of them thinks this needs to be any kind of a huge deal. But Mia said on Helmets and Heels the other day that a player – in meeting with Ryan Nielsen, had said that in terms of working on alignment,
mm-hmm.
that the Jags did that 0% of the time last year, and that already Ryan Nielsen has got him in the classroom or, you know, trying to show him different things. First of all, you hear 0%, I'm immediately skeptical. Now, I'm not skeptical that someone told me of this. See, this is where you have to understand the role of the reporter. It's not Mia saying, they did this. This is Mia saying, I've been told by a source. Now, we'll get to the source aspect of it here in a second. But mm-hmm. that they didn't work on alignment. Okay, now, I just talked with Mia, and she agrees. It can be very reasonable that, A, there's some hyperbole involved. Anytime you use 0% of the time.
Yeah.
You heard Leon Searcy yesterday talk about this, Tone. You can't play football without working on alignment. Yeah. I mean, hey, you 11 guys, just run out there, right? And let's hope for the best. I mean, some of the most basic building block stuff is, are you lined up in the right spot? Hey, you know, and we see it all the time in the open portion of practices we're at, where, and that's a very minimal percent where guys are getting, you know, redirected, shown what to do. Hey, let me show you what you should have done here. Here's where you should have been. All that is working on alignment, okay? So to say 0%, immediately yeah. I'm skeptical. But this is what Mia's being told.
Mm-hmm.
So she reports this is how it was. So either it's a little bit of hyperbole, or maybe that person is thinking about a specific aspect of what would be all-encompassing under the word alignment, right? Because I find it hard to believe that no one was ever corrected on being in the wrong place, ever, because that would be greater than 0%, right?
Yes.
So immediately that would tell you that that is a hyperbolic statement, okay? So you have that on the one side. So people are like, oh, my God, this coaching staff.
Yeah.
What?
And it would have been a really weird statement. It's like, yeah, we worked on alignment 27% of the time.
Right,
right.
Sure. Like, you could say, hey, we work on alignment, right. You know, not every day.
Like, we've all been having discussions about whatever we've been having discussions about, and at some point we say some hyperbolic whatever to make our point.
Yes.
Right? That, yeah, yes. We never work on that.
Yes. I will never do X again.
Yeah.
Anyway, so people are coming to Demetrius at the Florida Times Union. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? It's not like Demetrius goes, and we just throw a random tweet out here about mm-hmm. the Jags and practicing alignment. So he goes and talks to somebody, and I believe he called him a credible source, trusted source. Don't have it right in front of me. Either way, the source that he trusts said that basically every Wednesday they did like half speed at practice to Slow it down. Here's the thing where Evan Engram, I think, missed. I think Evan Engram took this that we went half speed on Wednesday, and that was it. Like, this is why they're not ready on Sunday. They weren't practicing hard. No, what Demetrius was saying, according to the source, was, no, that we actually slowed things down to focus in on this aspect, to make sure, and, you know, that may be, as the season went along, that that's the influence of Doug Peterson not being happy with what happened, and that late in the season, this is what occurred. That, guys, we're screwing up in this area. We have to have a better focus on this, okay? So what he is saying is, here's kind of a defense of the coaching staff, that they're not clueless. Like, they've coached football before. Like, think about it. Tell any Pop Warner coach or any coach at any level, hey, coach, in the course of the next year, I don't want you to talk about where your players are lined up at all. He'd be like, what are you talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So he puts that out there. And then I think Evan Engram reads it, and he sees the part about how they went half speed in practice. He's like, what? What are you doing here? Why are we tweeting this, right? And by the way, never denied it. Didn't say this is not true. Said, name your source, your reliable source. Players get mad about this, right? And they want to go on and throw their name on whatever. You're welcome to throw your name on anything you like. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the position of Evan Engram where he can say whatever he wants without fear of repercussions. That's just the world we live in, right? So if you are like a fringe player or whatever, or maybe on the coaching staff, and you don't want your name out there in the news and become part of the story, but you want the record to reflect how
you
feel.
3 years ago with whatever the situation was between Urban Miller and Marvin Jones, right? Like, whatever that was at practice where it Marvin was gone, right?
Yes.
Like just disappeared. And everyone's like, what happened? And anonymous sources were saying, look, like, that's the kind of things that happen. And I can understand Evan reading it and being like, what is going on here? Look, man, when you have something you need to get out through the media and you don't want your name on it, that's why they have unnamed sources.
And it happens all the time. And right. People can say, well, I'm not going to trust it. That's fine. What you have to do then, you have to judge the reporter. Do I trust Mia O'Brien? Do I trust Demetrius Harvey? Have they given me reason not to? I don't have any reason not to trust either one of them.
Right.
Right? So I think they're conscientious. They do their jobs and they report what they are told. And sometimes, yes, you do. And by the way, if somebody were to tell you, hey, man, I don't want my name in this, and then you were to use their name, you'd never, ever get anyone in that locker room to trust you again.
Yeah.
Okay? Even the Evan Engram types would be like, yeah, I wanted his name out there. Yeah, but stab the guy in the back.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to happen. It's how journalism gets done. It's how stories get broken, whether you like it or not. It's like, who's the most infamous anonymous source maybe of all time? Deep Throat, yeah. Right? In the Watergate investigation. What did it take us, like 40 years to find out who that was?
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. Right? Like, and people, it was like a cottage industry. Books were written. Who is this source? And it was an anonymous source, and it was an important story. And that person couldn't tell on the record at that time. They felt like their livelihood or their well-being or whatever was in jeopardy. So there are plenty of reasons why people want to go anonymously give information to people.
Yeah.
The question is the information accurate? That's up to the reporter to try to figure that out. But at the same time, they're saying, hey, look, I was told this. I wasn't there. They're not saying, and I can vouch for that. This is what I'm told. This is what a reporter does. So yeah. I really feel like Mia, it's her job to put out what she hears, and she does that. Okay. Then people come to Demetrius, I'm hearing this. What are you hearing? Well, let me look into it. That's his job.
Yeah.
And so then Evan, like, I get it. He's getting his teammates back and the coaching staff's back and all that's fine. The part about, hey, it's 2024, move on. This is what we do. This is why you make as much money as you do, in part, because we hang on every single iota of everything that happens with every NFL team that we care about to a ridiculous degree that we are so jonesing for NFL action, Tony, that we'll break down week six from last year.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised by what Mia or Demetrius had to say about what was going on from whatever sources they're talking to about this stuff, and I have no problem with either of them putting out there, I heard this, this is what I heard what's going on. I'm surprised that Evan Engram, who had to deal with New York media for a half decade, is going after Jacksonville media the first time they do anything that it's an anonymous source. Right? Like that part of it was the weird part of it to me. It's like, I know you dealt with this for the first 4 years of your career. right? It was everywhere, all the time. It was everywhere in that New York media. Jacksonville, you know, we have fans complaining all the time about when is the local media going to break anything, right? When are they going to inform us on anything? And when they do, they have players in the locker room going, why are you reporting this?
Right. It's not team publicist.
No.
You know, we're not we want the Jags to succeed. But we also, it's our job to be honest in our evaluations. I try not to be gratuitous, right? I try not to question people. I hate calling people soft because I think that's the ultimate insult. But if I think they're playing that way, I got to say it.
Yeah.
Or else I don't have any credibility, you know?
Right.
But anyway.
I don't think there's anything, like, beyond today.
I think it's much
right?
due about nothing.
You're right. Like,
honestly.
In the end, there's nothing to this. Evan's not wrong that was last year. Right.
Year. Sending it to me, DMing me, like, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, they're, like, thinking this is going to be a huge, salacious thing. And, oh, it's going to be Mia versus Demetrius versus Evan versus, I don't know, you know, this on, like, I gave my piece on it. I feel like it was somewhat misunderstanding. One thing was a reaction, another thing was a reaction to another thing, and it is what it is. And we'll take a deep breath and
it's 2024.
We'll move on. And by the way, I spoke with Mia. I said, Mia's always welcome to come on Jaguars Day anytime. Mm-hmm. Mia has 2 hours of her own every day to defend herself, right? And or not that she needs defending. You don't understand what I'm saying? To put her point of view out there. And she does a great job of it. And, you know, the reason we don't have Mia on this program more is because literally she's coming on.
She's in an hour and a half.
It's always been the case with her. Like, we have Hayes on because we don't see Hayes. It's a different part of the day. You hear Hayes in the afternoon. You don't hear him in the morning. I feel like a lot of people who are listening to Jaguars Today spill over into the noon hour and so on. But so it's not that we have Demetrius on a lot, right? He's not a regular every, you know, scheduled week or whatever, but I told him, look, you're welcome to come on today. He goes, I don't need to make this anything bigger than it is. He said his piece. He didn't even have a piece. He just reported something.
Yeah.
People asked him, what is this true? Let me check it out. I checked it out. Here's what I was told. Boom, done. End of story. It's like, literally his job.
There's
literally
just not much there.
There's nothing there. Yeah. There's nothing there. So for the, I just want to put out, because, you know, Jaguars, social media gets buzzy about things, and I understand that, and that's fun, and we want you to be buzzy about things because the interest level is there, and look, I love a good soap opera, Tony, don't get me wrong, but I just happen to think this one isn't that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I do. I love when we get, you know, rivalries and discontent and all that kind of stuff. When it doesn't involve me, have at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think this is this. And
yeah, I don't think there's much to it.
Yeah. And by the way, this is nobody, for the record, because this comes up, well, you're not allowed to say this. No, you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, at how little anyone has ever given us guidance on what we should say or should not say.
Never.
Right? Basically, like as long as you're not, now you have to have built up a certain level of trust after a certain period of time to be able to do that, but we're not just coming out here. I'm not a mouthpiece for Demetrius or Mia or Evan Engram or anybody else.
No, we never got any of that. I can remember, you know, we had Doug Marrone in studio one day, a couple days after Ryan O had gone nuclear, right?
Yes.
On the team. And when he sat down in studio with me, he asked me, you know, he was like, do I have to be to sit in this seat?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
did it start with A and end with?
Yes.
O-L-E.
Yes, right? Like he was, and he kind of smiled at me as he was asking the question. I was like, no, it's all good. And then we just did the interview, right? Like there was nothing to it.
Right.
You know, and that was in the studio where that had just happened. And no one ever came and said, don't do that. They were just like, all right, here's coach.
But at the same time, like if put it this way. Hey, Jags, I want to get, this is where I think for folks who don't remember that incident, Ryan O'Halloran was not happy when Tom Coughlin came back. Tom made it tougher to get access to the players, right? Bradley, the Gus Bradley era. I mean, I told the story. I walked Doom in one day. Doom came in sitting on a show with us and just walked him down the rubberized hallway that goes right outside. And like, I think the gate was locked or we would have been walking out on the field, you know, that morning, just like strolling down the hallway. And he's like, oh, yeah. oh, here comes Gus. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Hey, Gus, get over here. Yeah. And like that, I had to go. And yeah. I was like, guys, I got a show to do. You guys keep chatting. And Gus and Doom chatted for 20 minutes in the hallway about life, motivate, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Doom would tell you better than I could. And so it was a different atmosphere. So Coughlin gets in, and you know, you remember way back in the day, Tom Coughlin used to do this, Dylan. We'd have three practice fields, right? It's where Daly's place is now. We're on that side. And he had a little white line like chalked off or painted off, like on up against the fence where the media could stand. And then he'd practice on the far field. Like you'd have to stand in that little spot two football fields away.
Bring your binoculars.
Yeah, I don't even know if you were allowed to. You might not have been allowed to. You know, don't lean against the fence.
Yep.
God help you if you lean against the fence. God, you know, any of this. So it was really over the top sometimes. So Ryan wasn't happy with whatever restrictions were put on him. He felt like he should have access to whatever he wanted whenever he wanted.
Yep.
And his reply was, well, enjoy sucking then. As if anything, as if Ryan's access to the team had anything to do with their performance on the field. Yeah, and at the time, when he said, I said, oh, Ryan, come on, man. And we called him out. And like, it was like, if I said something like that, like, hey, Jags PR, get me this player. You're not going to get me this player. Well, I hope you lose them all.
Yeah.
Then I should be kind of, then the coach should be like, hey, you are kind of an A blank, whatever.
Yeah, looking at you sideways a little bit with that kind of
stuff.
I
would get it.
But as you know, almost every interaction I've ever had with anyone who could have told us something like, please don't talk about X, right? Like that kind of thing. Any interaction I've had with someone that could tell me that, they've told me something along the lines of, say what you see.
Right, just be fair.
Yeah.
Be fair, be honest.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
All right, let's move on from that kind of stuff. Because I honestly, it's not, you care about the team and all that, not the soap opera-ish stuff. And I just wanted to, for me, pour a little glass of cold water on the soap opera aspect of it. Because I really think it's overblown.
I do too.
But that's my opinion. Yeah. That's my honest opinion. If you think I'm a mouthpiece for 1010XL or the local media or the whatever, think what you like. I'm a mouthpiece for the Hammer. This is Hammer Time coming up next, and we got to get to Hayes Carline on the other side from the Frangie Show. We'll talk about the news coming out. Nate Monroe tweeting out from the Florida Times-Union that Mayor Donna Deegan and the Jaguars have reached a deal on renovating EverBank Stadium that will be presented to the City Council on Tuesday. That and more coming your way on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
You can't touch this.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. Jaguars Today, it is Hammer Time with the great Hayes Carline of the Frangie Show. Going to weigh in on all things Jacksonville Jaguar related. Hayes, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What a wonderful day.
Oh, isn't it? Am I making too much out of this, Hayes?
No, not at all.
Mayor's office and the Jags agreed on the stadium deal that will be presented to the City Council. Now, somebody has texted the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, good plug for them, that they read this morning that the council will get it for an expedited review that will take 60 days. So I feel pretty good about this, Hayes. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, I feel great about it as well. I really commend the leadership of both parties here, the administration and the Jaguars, and the former administration deserves credit because I think they got a lot of the progress going on this. But there's been no saber rattling, there's been no contentiousness at all, which you tend to find in things like this. So I think they should all be commended for the mature way that they've gone about this process. And it's fantastic. Again, it's a 25-year investment. It's not just a price tag for one event or one year. It's an investment that you make in your city. And the NFL is a big key to our identity here. And you just can't afford to lose it. So tremendous job by all parties involved getting it done and also getting it done in very classy fashion.
Hayes, we haven't had the chance to talk to you since the draft has transpired. So what do you think is fair to expect from Brian Thomas Jr. in his rookie season?
I would temper expectations for Brian early on. You know, it took him a couple years at LSU where, you know, he was just around 300 and some yards a season. Then obviously year three, you know, he has the fantastic year. So His history shows he needs time to acclimate. I would expect that to be the case here. Now he's going to play a ton. And his presence, his athleticism will certainly help, I think, open things up for Christian Kirk and Evan Engram in the intermediate. So I think he might have an impact that goes beyond the numbers, but I don't think the numbers are going to be gaudy early on for Brian Thomas.
What do you think of the class overall?
I think it's a good class. I think getting Mason Smith and Jarian Jones are picks that we're going to look back on and believe that those were very high quality decisions. So obviously Smith it's the traits that really dazzle you. The majority of his college career, because it was so brief, he was either injured or recovering from an injury, but certainly when he was playing at 100%, you saw the kind of impact he can have in terms of collapsing the pocket. So I think he's wired the right way as well. I think I think their first three picks, and certainly going down the line, it's unfair to say, but just of talking to the first three, Brian Thomas, the day he was introduced here, and then just by conference call with other members of the media, when Mason and Jarian were selected, they seem to really have a healthy edge to them, but a good humble nature. So I think they're going to be very impactful. I think Jarian, I think, is going to end up being the starting corner out opposite Tyson Campbell. I think he's an outside player. I don't think he's going to be that. I think he could be the nickel, but I don't think that's where he'll end up. I think he beats out Darby, and he'll start opposite Tyson Campbell. Savage will be the nickel. And I think Mason Smith is a rotational player, that I think is going to have a real impact. So I think they did a very nice job. Trent Baalke did a nice job. Doug Peterson, and obviously to pick up an additional third and fourth in next year's draft, a fifth rounder this year, but having that third and fourth rounder from Minnesota in the 25 draft really gives them a lot of flexibility in terms of, do you want to make a deal this summer? You certainly have the cap space if you want to try and do that, add a big-time veteran. Maybe you do it at the deadline. If there's a team that is not having the season they hoped for, they've got a elite player, but maybe there's a contract issue there. Maybe you make the deal then. And then obviously, I guess worst-case scenarios, you just hold the picks and have six picks in the first four rounds in 2025, and that's a good situation to be in. So to be able to pick up that extra capital, get Brian Thomas, and then again get a kind of a pass rush defensive tackle in the second round, and a corner that I think gives you a lot of versatility, a lot of toughness, and is a great athlete. I mean, sub 4.4. To me, it's hard to argue with any of that.
What are you most looking forward to this weekend with the rookie minicamp going on? Your first chance to see all these guys on a field together as Jaguars, along with Jarvis Landry. We can throw him in there this weekend as well. But what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, I think just seeing them, and it's fun to be out there, and obviously the Jaguars are the only game in town, so we probably put a little bit more emphasis on rookie minicamp than, maybe other markets, and that's fine. It's what we are. So it certainly will be exciting. I don't know that there will be any hard and fast conclusions that can be drawn from it, but it'll be fun just to see the athleticism and get a chance to catch up with the players in greater detail. I'll have a interview with Mason Smith on Friday so I'm looking forward to that. And I think from a football standpoint, you want to be awed and dazzled by their frames and athleticism, and I certainly would think the guys at the top are going to have that, and even the guys further down. I mean, obviously Cole is an athletic wonder, particularly for being a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about him, Hayes. Really, you set me up perfectly here, because every draft analyst that we have on the station has raved about this guy, like could be a hidden gem, would have taken him in the fourth or fifth round. I mean, freakish ability. Now, in terms of Cole, honestly, I would think anything above making the practice squad is a great outcome for him this year. So I'm not expecting any productivity. So we're asking people today, where is that going to come from in the pass rush? We love the top two guys right now. Who are the next guys up in your mind that you expect to produce numbers in terms of getting the quarterback on the ground this year?
It's a great question. And last year I kept saying, well, the guy isn't here yet. The guy isn't here yet. And he never showed up because they never signed him.
He didn't come.
So I'll go in a different direction since that I got burned on that last year, continuing to believe that they were going to add something else. So I'll go out on a limb here. I'll say Devin Lloyd.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the new scheme is going to give him more opportunities to play in the backfield. So I'll say Devin Lloyd. I don't know that it'll be a high number, but put me down for Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, and then Devin Lloyd third.
Well, let me give you the opportunity to get burned again. What do you think the Jags are going to do with the $30 million they have to spend right now?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a shocking total because, you know, they've been aggressive. It's not like they're clearly all in on trying to win, and I think they've put a very competitive roster together. So it was striking to me. We even went back to double check it. I was like, can they really have this much cap space? And they are, you know, according to SpotRack.com, they're third in the NFL with $34 million to spend. So certainly they could go and do one of these one-year $10 million deals on a supplemental edge guy that would be, you know, below Allen and Walker, but, you know, get better playing time than Travis Gibson. So, you know, I still would like to see them do that. I get that the talent pool out there isn't maybe as deep as it was this time last year, but I would like to see more. I still really worry about the predicament that they would be in if Josh Allen or Trayvon Walker had to miss time. And so, you know, I would think that you spend some of it. Obviously, they're going to have some contracts. They're going to start bloating in years to come. So you obviously can roll over the $34 million, and that gives you some added flexibility for future years. But, you know, it's not really the Trevor deal. The Trevor deal, let's say they do the Trevor deal like in August, which is sort of the hot zone lately for franchise quarterbacks getting their new deal. Well, if it's done in August, it has no effect on 24. It's going to have basically no effect on the 25 cap. So it'll start getting really heavy in the 26 season. So even the Trevor, you know, it's not like they need the $34 million for Trevor's extension. They don't. And so I'd like to think that they're going to spend at least a third of that money to continue to build. I mean, we're seeing a division that's getting incredibly competitive, and I'd like to see them, yeah, you know, I'm fine rolling over like 20. I'd like to see, you know, at least one move of consequence made in the summer, and they could elect to go the corner route. That might be the easiest route, but I'd want to see what Jarian Jones can do first. Cause I have a sense he's going to dazzle them, and then they're going to be like, we're not in the market for a corner.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like if you're going to, I wouldn't at all have an issue if they approach Xavier Howard and, you know, saw what he was looking for, but I have a feeling he's going to be looking for $10 million a year at least. And if you do sign that guy, you're basically saying, well, it's your job, right? So,
right.
And the thing I think, Hayes, just to play devil's advocate, and I don't disagree with you. Like last year, we're talking about all offseason, go get you one of these guys, take a shot on him. Clowney turned out to be really good. Kyle Van Noy was really good. And they're all, you know, sitting out there. Not all the ones we were looking at would have, but they signed Travis Gibson, and they've got him on the cheap here, and they signed him when knowing who else is available out there. So is there just a world where they say, well, all that's great, but why would we pay a guy more if we think this guy, who did have 8 sacks 2 years ago, can do that same job for a lot less money?
It would be a lot less money, because I think his cap hit this year is like $1.1 million.
$1.1 million, yeah.
Basically nothing.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, what that would tell me is, are the other 31 clubs that wrong on him? No one?
Maybe, but
this guy,
you could also say, are they wrong on all these other guys who are hanging out there as free agents, right? Like, why has no one else felt the urgency to go pluck one of these guys out of the pool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that though I can at least somewhat understand, because, you know, guys that have had good, credible careers, you know, they're looking for what's my role going to be.
Yeah, I got you. And they want to wait till training camp sometimes. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think the guys that are unsigned, it's hard to say that that's purely a lack of interest from the clubs. You know, obviously no one's dazzled him.
Well, you look at Zay Jones, right? Zay is right out there. He's a good player. He certainly belongs in the NFL. He's had a couple of visits. Nobody's jumped at signing him. Now maybe he's asking for too much. You know what I mean? I think you just never know how other teams view certain players. But
yeah, I mean, I hope they're right on Travis Gibson. It would be a tremendous deal if he's able to give them 7.5 sacks and really quality play. And
by the way, I'm not predicting that, right? I'm just saying, like, trying to get in their head of what that.
Yeah, it feels to me like he's the fourth guy. That the way that, looking at, again, his contract, things like that, it would seem like, and again, to your point, they must have some confidence in him because they passed on Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. So, you know, they obviously didn't view it as, oh my gosh, we have got to, you know, we've got to find additional edge help and make it a real priority. But, you know, I would say that I would like to see a veteran at it, but I wanted to see that last year and they didn't do it. So,
I hear you.
You know, we'll have to wait and see. But I think they're in a strong position if they want to go and add a veteran. And that would be where I would do it.
All right. Well, Hayes, we appreciate it. It seems like it's a wonderful day to be a Jaguar supporter. So let's let's hope this good news continues to roll downhill and build momentum. But we always appreciate you hopping on, and we encourage folks to check you out every weekday afternoon on the Frangie Show, and doing a great job covering the Jags inside that locker room and on the practice field as well. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Always enjoy it.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Hayes Carlyon, who you'll find at his name on social media, Carlyon. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back with Johnny O in the house, going to join us as we'll talk about the deal that got done with the mayor's office and the Jags. Again, that doesn't mean stadium deal is done. That means it moves on to its next step, but that's a pretty important step in the process.
No
so
doubt.
Let's go, City Council. All right. And as somebody said on the text line, easier for me to say, as a St. John's County resident, Tony, I'm fully transparent in my bias on this. But I will say this.
I'm a Duval County resident. Get it done.
If they wanted to tax me in St. John's County to pay for the stadium, I would be on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would. You know, if they wanted to use some of our local tax dollars to contribute to the stadium, I would be on board with it. You know, I don't control those kind of things. If I moved to Duval, I'd still be on board with it. That's mm-hmm. me. You don't have to be.
Yep.
We can discuss that an hour or two with John Osier of Jaguars.com. Straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here. Listen, are your drafty windows letting that cool air right back outside of your house? Your mom would be so upset with you. Will they protect your home from Florida's unpredictable weather? Well, if not, Pella Windows and Doors should be springing to mind, all right? It's time for the peace of mind that only comes from Pella. They offer durable wood, fiberglass, and vinyl products in a variety of styles and designs that are going to best complement your home. I have them in my home. I love them. Visit the Pella of Jacksonville showroom. They're on Phillips Highway just north of Bay Meadows, or you can always find them online at PellaJax.com.
Oh, no's with Jaguars.com's John Osher, brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars
on 1010XL.
All right, now before we say hello to Johnny O. Pockets, you're not training your replacement right now, are you?
I might be. I don't know. I mean, I'm like these one-week contracts.
Well, as far as you know, right? Like, haven't you had a couple of two-week contracts in a row? Didn't we sign you for the rest of the season? I thought that's how that thing worked.
Yeah, and then I was good on the media mock draft, so then I thought I was
you were
I was
solid
an extension.
Bro, yeah, it's not coming from me, okay? It's coming from reliable sources. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Big source week.
Let's move on. Yes. Hi, John.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good.
Living the dream.
I feel great. You know, again, we're not putting shovel to dirt here and paint to walls yet, but the Donna Deegan, the mayor's office, the honorable, getting it done, at least agreement in principle with the Jags. And as we were discussing here a moment ago before you came on, you didn't hear a peep about much of anything, right? There was no posturing. That's like sometimes when things go a little haywire, somebody will throw something out there and make a quote with an intended audience, and there was none of that that went down. So it was, you know, two parties that were motivated to get a deal done, got a deal done. Now it moves on to the next stage. How excited or not should Jaguar fans be about this step in the process?
Oh, I think excited. I don't know if they should be more excited than they have been or more excited than they will be, but I think just overall the vibe has been very much, and I don't pretend to know the ins and outs. I'm not hiding anything here. I basically know what has been written, and that the agreement, you know, looks like it's going to city council next week. That's part of the process. I've heard nothing from anybody around to think that there's going to be any major hiccups in the process. There's going to be discussions, but
you don't read our text line that they ain't fans of the city council on the text line. I'll just say,
well, from anybody who, has in that area or in those discussions, I know there's obviously going to be disagreement on things.
Yeah, it's a political body, so half the people disagree.
Yeah. So I've heard nothing to indicate that there's going to be a whole lot of, I haven't been worried about this one getting done from the start. I've heard nothing to make me worry. That doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sand. It doesn't mean there's not going to be pushback, that people won't like certain things because it's out there and it's public. But, I'm usually the world's biggest worrier on stuff like this because, as you guys know, it's our career. It's what we do for the long term. You want the team here. I am fully confident sometime within the next year a deal is going to be announced.
How worried were you?
I don't say the next year because I don't know the specific time frame.
Right. Yeah, you were here early on, then you went up to Indianapolis for a number of years, came back here to Jacksonville. How worried have you been when you've been your most worried about the long-term future of the Jaguars here, in Jacksonville here?
Here, not really since I've been back. When I was in Indy and considering taking the job, that was 2011 when all of the FedEx guy stuff, remember, the Los Angeles stuff was the big thing at that point. And I knew people, but I didn't, I'd been gone 10 years. So I was like, well, you don't want to go back and take a job if the team's going to, I was just ignorant to it. I was like so many national fans, probably with a little bit of an edge of maybe knowing some people at the Jags still. But I made calls. I mean, and I actually, I knew Wayne from when I had covered the team. So when I came down to interview, I talked to Wayne and, asked him, are you going to sell the team? No. Well, 6 months later, sold the team. But since Shad's gotten here, and since I've talked to Shad and people around him, I don't worry about the team moving because he doesn't plan to move the team.
Wayne Weaver, my opinion, is not appreciated enough for what he did for this city and this, the whole, hey, man, I mean, how tempting is it to say, oh, we got this great plan together. You know what? We love you. We want to welcome you to the club. You'd be okay with the team in St. Louis, wouldn't you? Or wherever it was going to be at the time. I forget what the cities were that were all competing. But they, we'd love to have you. And Wayne was like, no, Duval or die, baby. He was the first Duval till we die.
Yeah, me, you get Jacksonville.
You get Jacksonville if you right. And all right, well, let's see. Let's table this. And they came back and damn sure did.
And then when he sold, made sure to sell to somebody.
That's the other half.
Every time you say that, there's always the people, probably people on the text line, Shad Khan's this, Shad Khan's that. Look, he's kept the team in Jacksonville. No matter what you say about London, whatever, he has wanted the team in Jacksonville. If he didn't want the team in Jacksonville, he's owned the team.
It'd be gone.
It's 2024.
Yeah.
He's owned the team since 2012.
I mean, he's got a mustache that could play as a good movie villain.
If he didn't want the team here, you know where it wouldn't be? Here.
Right. I mean, or certainly, do you think the NFL would be upset if Shad was looking to, wanted to be the guinea pig for London? I don't think anybody wants to be, quite frankly.
Right.
I think they love dangling it out there like a carrot, kind of replacing L.A.
But Shad has, yes, there are absolutely people within the league who would not mind a bit if Jacksonville was not in the league.
Correct.
But Shad is – again, Shad and Wayne are the reasons that this team's here.
Yes. Wayne.
Many more, but yeah.
Wayne, so far at the top of the list. And I give a shot of credit. He's always been. And look, there are practical realities. You do have to. It is a business. And yes, they make money and the value of the franchise goes up. But you know, Shad Khan doesn't build an empire from scratch without being a super competitive kind of guy. That's why when people say Shad doesn't care about winning, to me, I just laugh. Like, I mean, all this guy has ever done is win in his life. It's got to kill all these guys. It's got to kill them.
It's a very silly statement.
I think it is. Yeah, but, no. I mean, look, put it this way. If they get it done, they go to the city council, and there's some tweaks, and it goes back and forth, and finally, ultimately, it's done. And we go to work, and we're building it. Well, during the time they play somewhere else for a year or so or two, well, you know, look at the crowds here. There's still going to be. There's people that are going to be, for whatever reason, desperate to conclude their narrative that Jacksonville just is not a big league city. That, you know, let them keep just huffing wind, man, because when they get a new deal done and they get like a 50-year extension on it, then what are you going to say at that point in time?
Oh, they'll think it's time to say.
They will, and that's the point, right? That they still will. There will be a percentage that think of something to say. And right now, I can see how it's going to play at Pro Football Talk, okay? Because Pro Football Talk is pushing the whole cities should not pay another dollar to these billionaires thing. And we may never see another publicly financed stadium. And Jacksonville, Florio wrote this like a week ago. Jacksonville says they're trying to reach a deal, but it's not done. And we'll see about that. And so when they get it done.
Any small market that's in the NFL is going to have, out of its city, but public funds involved.
Right. And when they get it done, he's going to pivot to, well, it was a dumb thing to do. Right? Sure. It's going to be, never going to happen. Well, still hasn't happened. Oh, yeah, it happened, but is this really good? And it happened, but that doesn't mean, you know, if he's willing to pay, you know, like as if Shad Khan, who, like you said, could move the team or certainly if he wanted to sit on his hands till the lease ran out in 2029,
yeah,
could expedite the process.
Yes.
You think he's going to go through all this, get a new stadium renovation done, pour $1 billion in, pour money into downtown, and then go. Now it's time to go. Because that would have been a really good investment.
The narrative back to that was, well, he can afford to do that. Well,
right, exactly. Yeah, yes, he could.
I can afford things that
he could also snap his fingers and pay for the whole thing if he wanted to. But he's a businessman.
The league wouldn't let him.
Okay.
But
the league wouldn't let him.
No, the league wouldn't approve that.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Well, why not,
The league won't approve small market ownership to do that. They wouldn't approve it in Buffalo. They wouldn't approve it in Tennessee because the next small market that comes along, it would set that precedent of that having. Now, is that right, wrong, or different? No.
So Kroenke can build a billions and billions of dollar palace. Can,
yes.
But if Shad wanted to.
Wouldn't approve it.
It's so stupid.
Ownership wouldn't approve it.
So dumb. I mean, that's really, really dumb at that point. But, I mean, you're beholden to the rules of the club you join to some degree as well. I mean, that would – well.
Well, if you think about it, Buffalo's and Tennessee's were set up with – I forget the exact number – essentially two-thirds public funding, one-third private in that range because they're smaller markets. Mm-hmm. The bottom fourth quartile essentially has to be approved that way. So,
well, this is going to be like at least – we hope 50-50, you know, more like not 75-25.
Right.
Or two-thirds, one-third, I think is what you said.
Yeah, two-thirds.
So. All right, let's take a break. That was news that came out today. Nate Monroe of the Times Union tweeting out that Mayor Donna Deegan, along with the Jaguars, have reached an agreement on a stadium renovation, which still has to go through more steps, going to the city council, but it's still an important step in the process.
It's
so,
better than them not reaching
an agreement. And doing it as you know, fuss-free?
Well, it's one of those situations where at the beginning, both sides said, we want to get this deal done, right? Well, a lot of times when those things get said, 4 weeks later, you're hearing different reports. This is one where that gets said, and it's apparent that that's what was real.
All right. We'll come back. We'll shift our attention to the prospective on-field performance of the Jags this year. Talk about that pass rush a little bit. Your question of the day out there, an overwhelming win for Arik Armstead. I'm calling it, Tony. Still a lot of people voting on this one, but and we're happy to have you. Assuming Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker post the two highest sack totals for the Jags this year, who will have the third most sacks on the team? Gave you some options, but we can go off the board with that as well. We'll discuss. John Osher's in studio along with Tony Smith. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Oh, no's.
With Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars on 1010XL.
All right, Johnny O's here with us. Tony Smith will be back with me momentarily as well. We'll go around the National Football League. You didn't know Tony was out of the room. Unless you're watching, Tony, in the YouTube virtual studio. Tony Smith has entered the chat once again. He's re-entered the chat. Hey, you know, if this were the drill, you would have been gone for the next segment, right? Let's be honest, right? Those guys just wander off. It's like, what the hell's going on, man? Yeah. There's Hicken wandering the halls again. What's going on?
You can wander off?
You can't. I don't know. I've never tried it.
There he goes. Oh, that was a fake one.
Unbeknownst.
I didn't know that was on the table.
Much to your disappointment, I'll stick around for the segment here and the remainder of the program. I want to look up a quick number here, and then I will pose a question to you guys here based on what I find. If I'm in laptop hell. I am, Tone. I'm in laptop hell over
here. Technology has to cooperate.
How many sacks did Calais Campbell have last year?
Not sure. I can tell you in a moment.
Four and a half.
Was it 4.5?
No, I have no idea.
You might be right. That sounds like, let me see. 6.5. Okay, he had 6.5 sacks. He had 5.5 the year before that. He had 1.5. The year before that. And this is in the last 3 years, he's started all but one game that he's played, right? He started.
Bring back the mayor.
Right. I have no problem with the mayor. But the question that was sent in this morning by BCB Supercat, would you rather have Calais Campbell or Travis Gibson as your third edge rusher? Would you rather have Calais or Roy Roberts as your next up interior D lineman? Doesn't matter. I don't put the team together.
Right.
Like, I would. Here's my guess is that they could probably use Calais to some degree, but Ryan Nielsen did coach him last year. He did have 6.5 sacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, next up at defensive tackle, Roy Robertson is probably starting for this team. Now, would Calais start over him? Maybe so. I don't know. I have no problem with Calais, but I felt like I was being asked this as if
a trap.
I don't want Calais back here. You know, we would have loved to have him back last year. They kicked the tires on him. They didn't have a starting role to offer him. Guess what? I don't know if they have a starting role to offer him now, you know, unless you wanted to make him like your nose tackle, right? Because he's not starting over Arik Armstead. He's not starting on the outside over Allen or Walker. It's not happening, right?
You can go look at his snap counts, right, in his career. And when he was playing here in Jacksonville, 77, 80, 78% of the snaps on defense is what he was playing. That's
a ton. Ton.
Right? The last
on
4 years.
Line,
yeah, last 4 years, 51% there with Baltimore in 2020, 64, 62, 63.
Still a pretty good percentage.
Right. And he's still playing all the special teams he's always played in his career. Like, the numbers on special teams are about the same. He gets about a third of the special team snaps for wherever he's playing throughout his entire career. So it does feel like, even at 37, 38 years old, that's a really productive player still. Like, I don't know how these guys do it. You know, this long doing what he's being asked to do week to week.
Genetic lottery and hard work.
But somehow he can. And I'd be confident if they signed him to a one-year deal that whatever that expectation is, that he can be this guy that can just put him in when we need him, play about 30, 40% of the snaps if that's all we need. I think he'd be really effective doing it.
And maybe, you know, they talk to Clay and Clay is like, well, circle back.
Right. That feels like the kind of conversation they may have had with him last year.
Possibly so. And that's why I think he chose Atlanta, because he had the opportunity to start there, John.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he wanted – and I guess I'm on the same page as you. If they signed him, no problem with it. I don't necessarily know that it's the end of the world if they don't. But
no, people love Calais, and he's a good player. He's a good player.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I don't know what he would command salary-wise at this stage. And again, the Jags did have him in and found out maybe he said, hey, look, I really think I can still be a starter in this league. I'm going to see if I get another opportunity. Maybe I'll come back. I'm guessing what might have gone down, but it could be a very similar thing. Like he might be put out word like, hey, you know, let me just see what develops here. I'm content to wait until training camp. Right.
Right.
That's another aspect. He's 37. Does he want to go through all these OTAs and all this stuff?
I'm interested. I'll find out the best situation for me and we'll let this play out.
Right. Maybe the Jags have an injury and then all of a sudden Clay might be a starter. Yeah. Right. Or some other team could be in the same situation. So but the answer is yes.
Or maybe he thinks he wants to ring chase and wants to wait until
then
September.
He's definitely coming back.
Well,
here.
Could. But then he also could say, I'm going to wait and see if there's a, you know, better opportunity at, you know, say the Jaguars is the seventh best, you know, at the
How
team
dare
he thinks
you?
Is the fourth.
How dare you?
No, I don't know what he thinks, but.
How dare you disparage the mayor's thought process that would put the Jaguars anywhere below the top contender in the National Football League, John? Just kidding.
Yeah. I don't know what he thinks.
But it all, look.
He's played for a lot of teams.
Kalas is a good player. I think he's still a good player. And if he were on this team right now, do I think he could outproduce Travis Gibson? I do. Mm-hmm. But then again, as we were talking about a little earlier, Travis Gibson's going to make $1.1 million this year.
Right.
You know, and that's a factor too. And I understand the Jags have the cap space right now, but we don't know what their plan ultimately is for that cap space. And we don't know what Clay's is. If you're throwing it out there like, they've never thought of this. They have. They did it last year. They actually, you know, had a visit. It was very exciting.
Yeah, they usually think of most things, but don't act on everything.
Well, and that's fine, too. I mean, look, and you're certainly we love you telling us what you think they need to do. That's a big part of what the show is, right? That we all react, and it's kind of sitting around the water cooler and doing our thing. All right, so there you have it. Let's go around the rest of the National Football League.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Former Jaguars wide receiver Zay Jones has a visit scheduled today with the Arizona Cardinals. Tennessee has signed wide receiver Tyler Boyd to a one-year, $4.5 million deal. The New York Giants have claimed quarterback Nathan Rourke off waivers after he was waived earlier this week by the New England Patriots. Atlanta reportedly also put in a waiver claim there on Nathan Rourke. Safety C.J. Moore, who is one of the players who was reinstated a few weeks ago following a year-long gambling suspension by the league, has signed a one-year deal to return to Detroit. Kansas City wide receiver Rashi Rice just can't stay out of the news. He is under investigation in Dallas for an alleged incident that involved an interaction between Rice and a photographer at a nightclub in Dallas. And Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow participated in an on-field practice for the first time since suffering a wrist injury in November that knocked him out for the rest of the season last year. Burrow spoke after practice saying, quote, "This was a difficult injury. It's been a tough several months, but physically it's not the worst injury I've had. I've been through much tougher things physically, and so that's been a positive. I've been able to really lift and continue my offseason program kind of the way that it always has been," end quote.
All right, thank you, Tone. Appreciate that. I was just moving my cursor across my screen here, and you know, I tweeted out, quote tweeted Nate Monroe's post about the Jags and the mayor's office getting a tentative agreement done that will be presented to the city council. I said, this seems like good news. So one of the people who liked it, I just kind of hovered over their thing for a sec, you know, and it'll pop up their thing, and one of the things in their Twitter bio was ancient engineering nerd. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can watch the History Channel on that. I like.
It's in your bio or his bio?
No, it should be in my bio.
Kindred
I don't have
spirits.
Enough room. We are kindred spirits. Like, I love that stuff. How'd they build that? How'd they build that 10,000 years ago? You know, that's fascinating to me, John.
I wouldn't put my interest on the same level as yours, but cool.
I mean, truly, like, if I'm not watching sports,
that was your major.
I'd go the History Channel, and I'd go Investigation Discovery as my two go-tos. You know, other than like, you know, the streaming service.
Yeah, I'd probably go history first. I don't know about the ancient, you know, but yeah.
Ancient aliens, ancient everything, ancient engineering, ancient anything. How'd they build that? That should be a show just called How They How'd? Yes.
H-O-W apostrophe D.
How'd? How'd they build that?
How'd they build that?
Yes, is how it would be. All right, let's come back and let's look at the Eric Armstead poll today. That's really what it is. He is crushing his competitors, if you want to call them that, in today's poll as to who will be the third most prolific sack producer for this Jacksonville Jaguar team in 2024. We'll discuss that and other Jaguar tidbits as we come back with one final segment with the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Osier, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Nobody knows the Jags like Johnny O.
Oh, knows. Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On 1010XL.
All right, somebody asking on the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010, is this outlay from the city, presuming that a stadium deal eventually gets done and the city is putting in their half, their $1 billion worth, whatever the number ultimately is. Is this outlay from the city receiving a Super Bowl from the league? Will it result in a Super Bowl from the league? Other cities have received that for this kind of outlay, including the Jags, by the way. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think there's.
I would be surprised. I don't know if the answer is no, but I'd be surprised.
I would be
shocked,
stunned, honestly, if they ever bring a Super Bowl back to Jacksonville. Maybe I'm wrong. Now, maybe when it gets done, it'll be different. But I don't think there's going to be any promise.
It certainly won't get done without infrastructure around the stadium.
Correct.
Significant.
So even if the stadium gets done, you know, there could be down the road, but they're still going to look and go, how many hotel rooms do you have? Do we have to bring in cruise ships?
There won't be cruise ships.
Right. So I don't think, we can't speak for any negotiations or any incentives or anything like that. But
that would really, really surprise me.
I'd be surprised. Shad Khan's never really talked about that being a major focus of his.
Yeah, and I haven't heard or talked in an interview situation with Shad about that in a long time. The last time I did, and I don't remember when that was, he flat out said he didn't think the Super Bowl would work in Jacksonville. So he wasn't saying that he hoped they'd never get one. He said, as it stand then with the infrastructure.
Right. I'm not saying that he hoped against it. Make that clear. I just don't think it's ever been.
He would never push for it because at the time, my impression was he would not push for it because there was no reason to because it could not do it.
And there are other priorities to get done. And so we'll say, I think the draft is very doable, though. Now, Detroit brought in a lot of people for that draft, but I think the infrastructure could get to the point where you could easily handle the draft.
They'd have to stay out of town. Like, it would have to be come in and out. The infrastructure for that many people to stay would be difficult.
Well, but they're not all coming to stay. A lot of them are coming from here. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have a huge turnout of the local population.
Yeah.
Just coming in for the festivities. Yes, you would have people coming in from out of town. I don't know if it would be anything comparable to what you get for the Super Bowl because there's so much that goes on with the Super Bowl beyond the game itself.
Right. We've seen
a lot
all
of people.
Stuff.
We see it every time we go to the game. We all have covered numerous Super Bowls. Guys are heading out on Friday. They're I'm not staying around.
Right.
Like they're there. They're promoting their stuff. They're mingling. Right. They're going to parties. And then Friday comes. Oh no, I'll be home.
Media wise and quote, I say hangers on, but you know the periphery is just about as big the midweek as the game for a lot of people.
Let's see. Said what about no more London games? Could that be? I will be very surprised if Shad Khan agrees to that. I don't know. Maybe that's something that the council pushes for.
Yeah. My impression is there will still be London games.
Yeah. I would
agree.
That's
not but Mark Lamping saying it. That's me, my impression.
Correct. And my impression would also be if I am on the city/city council mayor's office side that you're not taking more than one ever. Ever.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's got to be ironclad as part of it.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah, and you would hope so.
Yeah.
Big part of the reason you're doing this is to be an economic driver for the franchise.
Right.
You know, that there are ways to you know, having that facility gets more people. They come in, they spend more money doing different things, or, you know, more entertainment aspects to it. What about the game? That's fine. You can go buy a ticket and sit in your seat and watch a game.
Yeah.
You're welcome
to
do
that. I also don't know that everybody in the city council, I think there are a lot of people in the city council who understand that there are positives for the city to the Jaguars playing over there.
This one. Hopefully a new stadium brings a WrestleMania.
Hopefully.
Maybe would that not be in that two competing entities?
Probably
there?
Would be.
I
yeah.
don't know if that's going to fly in.
Yeah.
In,
that's a hopefully that probably won't be
hopefully that there may be somebody in the organization that goes, I don't know if this is the best use of resources.
Right.
Right. There could be an AEW. Well, we already have all the AEW stuff at Daly's place, don't we? I don't know if they do anything. Like, I'm not a wrestling guy.
Hopefully is one of those all-inclusive words.
Yeah. All-inclusive is a good word, too. So
you can put in front of anything.
All right. Let's take a look at today's question of the day in blowout fashion. It was a bad question by me. What can I – anytime. It's – I mean, we debating the options is not bad, but just to give you one where, like, 84% of you – went with it. Turned out to be bad process on my part. But, hey, you can't win them all. It's a free poll question online. What are you going to do? Assuming Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker post the two highest sack totals for the Jags in 2024, who will have the third most? 83% of you think it'll be Arik Armstead. 7.4 go with Trevis Gibson. 5.6 say it'll be somebody who's not listed in this poll. And 4.2 go with the guy who was third last year in Roy Robertson-Harris. Roy Roberts. Tony, if I take Arik Armstead out of the equation, right? If I take the top 17 candidates out, but if I do take Arik Armstead out of the equation, who's the right answer here for you?
I think with what I expect it to look like from the way that they're going to line up eventually this year, and the possibility that they could still add, you know, some other edge, and I have no idea who I would say. Right, like, so I can't answer that because I don't know who to tell you who the who is.
An outside person.
Right, like, does someone else tell us who? I don't know who I would say.
But do you think it is a someone else?
I'm not sure on that. I think I would vote the someone else, Devin Lloyd, because I think he's going to be asked to play more outside linebacker this year, which will put him in a more natural pass rushing kind of position potentially for the team. So we've been talking about that with Devin now for a couple of years, so it feels weird saying it. This is the third year in a row we've been talking about what he could add to this team as a pass rusher, and certainly last year Foye was the better pass rusher than Devin Lloyd from the linebacker position. But I do think them going to more 4-3 looks and him playing as that kind of strong side linebacker should create more opportunities for him at least to rush the passer. So if I can't answer Armstead, I would say someone else and say Devin Lloyd.
Yeah, if it's going to happen in that capacity for Devin Lloyd, this is the obvious year. You would think it's a little bit now or never if he's going to rush the passer. I'll go with Gibson because that's
probably who I'd go with too.
But I kind of like Tony's answer better, but he said everything I would have said.
Yeah, but I mean, Gibson, they have signaled that he – I mean, they went out pretty early and signed him, you know, and it's not a huge deal. And Hayes' point was, well, the size of the contract indicates, you know, maybe nobody else in the league thinks he can get it done. Well, there are plenty of guys who are unsigned right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that may be that they're asking too much or whatever the case may be. He did have an 8-sack season just 2 years ago. It's not like it was 17 years ago.
I mean, this time 2 years ago, were you that much more excited about Arden Key than you are about Gibson? A little bit.
A little bit.
But
little
not,
bit.
Like, off the chart. Like,
no.
It could be a fairly similar type
guy. Okay, I could see that.
I mean,
maybe.
I don't necessarily know. I mean,
I was a little more excited because Arden Key had the ability to play inside, outside.
No doubt. I mean, I'm not saying it's absolutely even, but certainly I was not expecting Arden Key got signed for him to be impact guy. So I think Gibson could have that coming, you know, in that ballpark.
Somebody asking, could we get a national championship game, college national championship game with the new deal? Wouldn't be part of the deal. I mean, the college football playoff isn't going to go, if you guys build that stadium, we're going to bring our championship there.
But
but you could be in the mix to bid on it.
Yeah, I certainly think you would start actively pursuing events in that world. You know, don't want to say no, it'd be college championship immediately, but more high-profile college football, work your way into that.
Right. You know, and I don't know.
I think that's
– could you be
– definitely like, would be a focus.
At this point, Tony, all you guys probably know more about the college playoff than I do, but
– don't bet on that.
12 if I'm wrong, like 12 teams, four teams getting a bye, right? And the other eight teams play four games on the campus.
Correct.
Right? So then you got eight teams left, right? And at that point, they're going to neutral site?
That's correct.
Okay, so then at that level, could the Jags get on that level? When there are eight teams left, a quarterfinal game, yeah.
I would be surprised if they don't try to get it.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. Will they get it? Who knows? But, yeah. I mean, look, Jacksonville hosted a lot of bowl games over the years. Gator Bowl, at one point, had a fairly high stature.
A brand new, one of the best X number of stadiums in the Southeast, I would think. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen at some point.
I would think so, yeah. Now, the championship game itself, maybe not, but maybe, who knows? But none of this
makes as much sense as having it in, what was it, in Houston last year?
I don't know. I mean, Houston is such a big city that you don't worry about the logistics of where, you know, how are you going to house all these people? I mean, Houston's like, what, the fourth biggest city in America?
I guess the comparison would have been there's never really been a huge bowl game in that stadium.
Okay.
For any sort of tradition to connect, I don't think. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stepping away from tradition, which college football clearly has anyway. So
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, Jerry's world, there was no tradition until Jerry built the freaking palace and said, hey, come play here.
Right.
You know?
So I
do think they get in the mix, but none of this is going to be like part of the negotiation or anything like that.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it's going to have an impact on what happens with the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, obviously. It's going to have an impact because that's where Florida, Georgia, I would expect to be played. You know, whatever the new stadium's going to be. But
right, but what I'm saying is, like, with the NFL, they say, you build the stadium, you'll get a Super Bowl in the next 8 years or whatever.
Yeah.
No, nobody in college football is going to step in with the authority. They can't make that statement.
No.
So there's
– you'll be one of the seven neutral site games, right? Like, that kind of thing. I suppose there'll be a bunch of places who feel like they're going to have the opportunity to do that. Jacksonville would be one of the names added to the list.
Yeah, they'd have the opportunity, sure. Yeah. They'd be a reasonable candidate.
Cool.
For that kind of thing. I think it's cool as well.
Yeah.
It would also be something where they could get, you know, on the short list or whatever, you know, for huge blowout concerts.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're a Swiftie, you sort of hope that this and I know Tony's a Swiftie.
Yeah.
You sort of hope the stadium gets built because it would get you in that mix.
Mm-hmm. I'm nothing
good
against Taylor. I still don't think I can name one of her songs.
I know one song.
What is it?
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off.
We sung it earlier.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, is that?
I would know Shake It Off.
Didn't even know that's her.
Yeah.
Honest to God. Didn't even know it was her.
Yeah. That's the one that I know is her.
Whatever, man. If you like Taylor Swift, great. If you like somebody who's the opposite of Taylor Swift, that's great, too.
And I learned that watching, like, a joke video.
I hope
with
they
a
all
bunch
come
of puppets
here
playing kazoos.
And sell a bunch of tickets so we have great more entertainment options.
Anti or pro Swift, it was that.
I gotcha.
That would put you in that mix.
It would.
And as it stands now, you're not in that mix.
Mm. She'd come here if the Chiefs have to play a road game, too. That's a possibility as well. Uh-huh. All right, Johnny, what are you cooking with over there? Rookie minicamp stuff, OTA stuff?
Rookie minicamp coming up Friday. JP Shadrick is out of town today, so I'm going to be hosting the Huddle Up podcast with Bucky Brooks. So busy week for Ozone.
What's Shadrick up to?
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
Probably don't want to go down that that shrouded path. All right. Well, John, we appreciate seeing you. And
guys, always enjoy it.
Encourage folks to go check out your latest over at Jaguars.com. Rookie minicamp is coming up, so we'll get super hyped up about Keelan Robinson. Tony, nobody can lay a finger on him. He's because this is what we do at this time of year. You know, it is what we do. All right. Good job, Mayor's Office. Good job, Jags, taking the next step in the process. And City Council, you know how I feel, you know. And maybe we'll talk about this more as the week goes on. But they'll have it in front of them next Tuesday to take a look at the agreement that the Mayor's Office and the Jags have reached on a deal to renovate Everbank Stadium. And thus, in the process, keeping the Jags on the First Coast for a long, long time. All right, that'll do it for us today. For our guest, Hayes Carline, catch him on the Frangie Show at 4 o'clock this afternoon. For Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark, and John Osier, I'm Mike Dempsey. Tom McManus will be not tomorrow. I'm thinking today's Thursday. Tom McManus will still be in here on Friday. We'll be back tomorrow from 10 to noon. But Helmets and Heels coming your way next with Mia, Lauren, and Taylor on deck. Stick around for them, and we will talk to you tomorrow here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.